All right. So today I'm going to be coming from Ephesians 6. We're going to focus on verses 10 through 13, but for context, feel free to go back and read 10 through 20. Whatever it is customary for you during the scripture, feel free to do so. This is your house and I am visiting. So family, feel free. I'll be reading from the NIV version. It says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For your struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, stand." I've read to you verses 10 through 13. You may be seated. Amen. As we all know, football season has just come to an end. We prepared ourselves for the big showdown. Two teams face each other, face to face, head to head, toe to toe. All right. The Star Spangled Banner is sung. The Black National Anthem is sung. Yeah. Now we wait for the coin toss. You may ask, what does football have to do with the Word of God? Well, let me paint this picture for you. Each player has a uniform, a helmet, shoulder pads, thigh and knee pads, a mouth guard, cleats, a protection cup, and in some cases, gloves. But each serve a specific purpose. Now, as we know, these things are critical for our safety. Just like a football player, we are a Christian soldier. But most of all, we wear a heavenly uniform for the protection against principalities of evil that are beyond our earthly beings. Now, as I continue to walk you through this, allow me to give you this phrase: suit up or sit down. Suit up or sit down. So welcome aboard, sit back, buckle up. Now, during this brief ride, we will be emphasizing and reminding you of three simple things. And I'll remind you of those in just a moment. Now I want to help you have a better understanding of what the armor is and why we must keep it on. After all, once you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. Amen. Now let me give you a little history of the text. Now in the book of Ephesians, we see Paul, the prisoner to be assumed. He lays out laws of how to live as a Christian. He speaks about children treating their parents and parents engaging with their children. But in this particular chapter, Paul is kind of giving a little kudos to the church of Ephesus. He's thanking them for their guidance and their following of the laws of God. Now, you may say, okay, now, where are we going with this? Paul kind of gives us a playbook. All right. And as we know in sports and other things, there's a playbook. Now, let's be honest. When we go into some type of fight, physical or natural, there's a game plan. Now I see you looking like, oh, that's not me. I don't do that. Not me. Well, that's cute, but let's be honest. When there's a scuffle, you go, hold on, let me take my earrings out. Let me put my hair up. Now don't scratch my face. You got Vaseline? Let me get. We have these little small claws in there. I can't fall, okay? If I fall, y'all just break it up. We have all of these small things that happen. You with me now? All right. Therefore, we all know that certain things need a few prerequisites. So now we can simply say that it would be remiss of us, or we'll just be sweeping under the rug, that we know we need some preparation for spiritual battle.
That's right.
Now, have you ever been to a kids' event or some type of thing showcasing their talents? Now, as a classical dancer, I can tell you, before the parents and your friends and your family all come and see and clap and bring flowers, there are hours and days and months of training and preparation. There are long nights, there are tears shed, positions change, dances change, people in, people out, amongst other things. Jammed fingers, hurt toes, all of those things. And then you have that one parent that says, I know my child missed these mandatory things, but they deserve a little spotlight. They deserve a little spotlight. Now, how is it possible that you deserve spotlight, but you aren't prepared? Now, this will bring me to the first observation and a point of emphasis. What is your armor? Now, the infamous Oxford Dictionary, you know, the great reverend, defines armor as both a noun and a verb. Now, as a noun, it is the metal covering worn by soldiers or warriors as a protection in battle. Now, in the verb form, it means to provide emotional, social, or other defenses. Now, I'll make it a little personal. The noun represents your external. Your verb is going to be your internal. Now, the armor plays a critical role in the determination of your success or your failure. Your external protects the things that are vital to life and death on your outside. Now, your internal is the most intimate and delicate parts of you. With that being said, you want something, you need something to cover that up. The carnal armor is supposed to protect you from the outside threat. Now, this will ease me into my second point. The armor has a purpose and a promise. Have you ever walked around your house, just living your best life, singing your favorite song, and then suddenly you hit your toe on the corner of that couch? The things you say and shouldn't. And then you kind of catch yourself. That right there. But what if you had that shoe to protect that toe? Just like a shoe is made to protect your foot, you must wear something to protect your spirit.
Yes, yes.
When it comes to your human side, we're protected by any means necessary. Guns, tasers, knives, your hands, a plethora of other things. But we forget we have a spiritual side.
All right.
What if we took that same stance with our spiritual body?
Come on, help us.
Can you imagine the level of protection you will have when you have the armor on in a fixed fight? Unlike the material things we buy to protect our man, your spiritual armor is a guarantee. It has a 100% success rate.
Yeah. All right.
The armor of God comes with a purpose and a promise. This is that one case where the warranty has no charge. Well, let's be honest, the price was paid, but the endorsement and the effectiveness doesn't go into effect until you tell God yes. In our previous Bible study, we were learning that the battle begins in your mind. Now, let's just take that a step further. Now, the purpose of this armor, yet again, is to protect what is most vulnerable. And sometimes those things we become comfortable and complacent with. Along with this purpose, you must not forget the promise of safety. We're tested with lies, manipulation, and to be quite frank, our emotions and fears.
That's right.
This is when your belt of truth comes into place. You must know what it is and what it isn't. You must make sure you have that breastplate of righteousness. That's that critical piece because it will cover those vital organs. These are your day-to-day troubles. The gospel of peace, now this is the shout for me because we see peace as an attribute of God. We'll see that in Galatians. Isn't that the good news that God thought enough of you to put a piece of him around you? Now, even in the midst of this battle, he considers us. Now, I'm going to pause here and give you a small disclaimer. Now, in Greek terms, peace is used to refer to or speak of unity and wholeness. Now, the shield of faith. In Roman times, of battle, the shield carried was very heavy. It was made of animal hide. Just right before the battle, they would dip them in water. Now, this was to be able to extinguish the flames of the darts from the enemy. I'm gonna go back. Now, the hides were dipped in water to be able to put out the flames thrown by the enemy. Now, there's power and safety in the dip. You'll catch it later. Now, let me help you a little bit more. During baptism, you are Dipped. Now back to the armor. Now we're wearing our helmet of salvation. As I mentioned earlier, we have learned that battle begins where? In your mind. Yes, our minds. In the sanctity of your mind, we can tap into the heavenly realms, and our mind now becomes our greatest tool. Last but most certainly not least, we have the sword of the Spirit. This is the word of God. This is that weapon that works both in defense and offense. Now that you've been given the what, the purpose, and the promise, this last observation is the shortest, but it's the most important. You now have the ultimate battle guide. The ultimate battle guide. I've told you what you have. I've told you the purpose of what you have and the promise of what you have. Now, see, that's the game winner. And I'm just simply here to remind you that you have the battle plan, the battle guide. Now, you also have a coach that the playbook is created by. Now, everybody wants this coach. You know how during the games when the coaches are talking and they do this right here? See, you have the coach that everybody wants this right here. Now, that armor, that purpose, and that promise, and that guidebook is now in full effect. You're on the winning team. Now, in the words of C.C. Winans, we know he's never lost a battle. Now, I've given you the tools, and now I'm going to challenge you to use the armor that has been given to you. After all, you have a warranty that didn't require a credit check, a down payment. That part was already taken care of. Now, all you have to do for this valid to be for this warrant to be valid, is simply say yes. In the words of my beloved pastor, my brothers and sisters, that's it, that's all. Now, for some of us children at heart, the great Bishop Warner Brothers, that's all, folks. Now, just in case I have a few seasoned saints, I finished my course. Now, for us Christians, before I leave, let me remind you of this. Now, although the Warner Brothers have said, that's all, folks, now, for us Christians, we don't close the curtains there because we know that on a Friday, they paraded Jesus along the Via Dolorosa, where they hung him high on Golgotha's hill. He hung his head, and for me and you, the battle plan, he died. It was Saturday when his body laid in that borrowed tomb. But it didn't stop there. He thought of us. He went down in the hill. He gathered those who died before us, who didn't get the chance to see the fulfilled prophecy. But it was early. See, we're in that Lent season. We talked about trust. That early that Sunday morning, he got up with all power in heaven and in earth. Now today, he paid that ultimate price. And I ask you, will you suit up or will you sit down?